All right, we've got UFC Fight Night next tomorrow night from the Apex in Las Vegas. Our middleweight main event, 2 years in the making. Eighth-ranked contender Kevin Gastelum finally gets his shot against number one-ranked Robert Whittaker. Prelims start at 7 Eastern on ESPN. The main card is on ESPN and ESPN+. To get ESPN+, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. My name is Greeny, and we are jam-packed. Let's go. Matt Miller, draft expert, says the Dallas Cowboys should trade up to take Kyle Pitts.
Matt, you are high.
Preach.
We have started off spicy this morning.
I'm in the pulpit, baby. Preach.
That's like the ultimate kick in the family jewels.
I'm loving it.
Oh, my gosh. I think we're on to something.
You haven't really been on Get Up until Jeff Saturday has called you high.
This is why I love you, Greeny. The intelligence.
Ah. Is Aaron Rodgers a year away from changing his relationship status to single?
That Facebook status. Does anyone even do that anymore?
I'm in the damn twilight zone. I'm telling y'all.
I gotta update mine, by the way.
There's a lot of people that look at Greeny's suit and think he overpaid for it. Greeny likes his suit. He's okay with it.
Yeah, fair enough. I appreciate that.
If Jerry Jones trades up to get Kyle Pitts, I'm just gonna turn the damn TV off.
Bless your little heart.
Stop.
Bless your heart.
Stop it.
You're wrong.
Oh my God.
Wrong.
Oh, my God.
A fun week it has been, and we are delighted that you've been along for the ride with us. Thank you so much as we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up, coming to you live, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. And in the moment that I have before we crank up our new hour, we mentioned at the start that today is Bill Belichick's 69th birthday. So we put together some fun facts for the radio show later today. How about this? Bill Belichick, his record as the coach of the Patriots is so far over 500 that he could lose every game from now until the middle of the 2029 season and still have a winning record as a head coach. Happy 69th birthday, Bill. You're at the very top of our show today. What are you going to do in the draft? Let's roll it. We're going to find out, because it's time to get up with Bill Belichick. Has he found his next great quarterback? And if so, can he figure out how to get him? We're taking a look at all the options right off the top. Meanwhile, our friends in Las Vegas tell a fascinating story about where this quarterback should expect to be 2 weeks from today. Spoiler alert, it's a surprise. Plus, we will tell you who the real star will be on draft night, and it actually isn't even close. All that and more as we get up with you on a Football Friday, starting right now. Less than 2 weeks from the draft. What will the Patriots do? That is the big mystery. They've got the 15th pick. They spent some time earlier this week at Justin Fields' Pro Day. And then Bill Belichick yesterday spent some time talking to reporters about all the scenarios.
You know, at 15, I think we could eliminate a few players that won't be at 15. And then you could look at a couple scenarios and say, well, if you know these three players are there, which one would we take? I would say normally something will happen, and there could very well be a player there that either you don't expect to be there, or maybe he is a couple spots, maybe at 12, 13, he's still on the board, and you really thought that he'd be gone in the top six, seven picks. And then that, you know, then the question comes, you know, do you move up and try to get that player that's fallen a little bit?
It's actually some reasonable insight from someone who rarely shares anything with the reporters like this one, our own Mike Reese, who's the best in the business. Mike, what did you take away from Bill's press conference yesterday?
Greeny, really, how much intrigue there is around what the Patriots will do. I logged on for this video conference at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I was one of 83 reporters on the video conference. Think about that, Greeny. 83. And why is there so much intrigue around this? Everyone knows Bill Belichick loves to wheel and deal. He's made 82 draft day trades since he's come to the Patriots in the year 2000, easily the most in the league. I will tell you, coming away from that video conference, I didn't sense that he was thinking of the big trade, 15, maybe up to 4, but more of the modest trade that we heard him talk about. If the right player is there, maybe in the 10 to 14 range.
Well, so, and that is what Mel Kiper forecast earlier this week in his mock draft. As you know, he projected them to move up to 10 to take Justin Fields. They've also been at Mac Jones' pro day, Fields' pro day earlier this week. So what is your sense, from best you can tell, of how the Patriots view these quarterbacks in this draft?
Well, Belichick called it an interesting group, but that doesn't take us too far down the road to what they're really thinking. Greeny, I will just say this. From a big picture standpoint, they are all in on the quarterbacks. And I'll tell you, owner Robert Kraft had said, we know long term that we have to find our way at quarterback. And they're going out to Justin Fields' pro day a couple days ago. And Robert Kraft said, we're bringing a small group. You know what, guys? Take my private plane. We'll make it easier. And to me, I just tell that story because it's reflective from the top down how they're locked in on these quarterbacks, knowing they got to try to figure out that position one way or the other.
All right, Mike Reese is always there to keep us posted. We're 13 days from maybe starting to get the answer here. Outstanding work as always, Mike. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Man, well, let me bring my crew back in here today. For those of you just joining us, Mike Tannenbaum, Field Yates, and Dan Orlovsky are here. So Mike T., you just heard Mike Reese saying that Belichick loves the draft day trade. I'd love you to pick that up again, because for those who are wondering, if he's going to make this move, when's he going to make it? You were making the point earlier. If you do it while the draft is going on, the prices come down.
Yeah, precipitously. And again, the key spot to me is number 8 with Carolina. They just traded for Sam Darnold. And I think to go from 15 to 8, which was a little bit more than what Coach Belichick talked about, I think the price is going to be very reasonable. Let's say it's just one first-round pick. If you're New England, you get your quarterback of the future. Let's say it's Trey Lance. Maybe Justin Fields falls there. And you're only giving up one first-round pick. If you're Carolina, you have Sam Darnold and an extra one. So I think that's a real win-win. And from 9 to 11, I think the price gets even lower. And the massive premiums we saw 10 days ago in that San Fran-Miami trade, that's gone on draft day.
That would be interesting. And so who's jumping in? Allie?
I'll go.
Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, first of all, I don't know what precipitously means, Mike T., so break that down a little bit more for me. But I just sit here and I go, and I felt this way for a while now. How does New England not be aggressive in this draft? They were abnormally aggressive in free agency. And then the reality is that there are 4 quarterbacks in this draft that I feel really good have the chance to be really good players. The 5th being Trey Lance, that I think there's a lot of unknown about, all right? I don't know, because I haven't necessarily seen it from him when it's been needed, because it hasn't been. So if you're New England and you're sitting there within a division and you go, wait, Josh Allen in Buffalo just had an MVP caliber season, only going into year 4. Buffalo is a really good organization. He's a really good player. Tua Tagovailoa in Miami. Tua had a pretty darn good rookie season when a lot was against him, and they're only going to get better. Great head coach, great general manager. And then now the New York Jets have got a gajillion picks, and they're taking a player that a lot of people, myself included, think is very intriguing and super talented. We're going to have to make a move at some point, guys. That's just in our division, let alone Jacksonville getting Trevor Lawrence, let alone Kansas City having Patrick Mahomes, let alone the Chargers having Justin Herbert. At some point, we're going to have to sit there as an organization, if you're New England, go, okay, we're at 15, and we don't want to be at 15 ever again. And we've refurbished our cupboard when it comes to talent. We got to get a dude. And Greeny, like if you told me that this roster – come April 30th or April 31st, has this talent level with this coaching staff, and they went and got a Justin Fields or Trey Lance, that totally changes the complexion of the AFC. Because now I don't look at them as a fringe playoff team. Now yeah. I look at them a team going, uh-oh, they got a chance to make a lot of noise.
Yeah, there were only 30 days in April, but your point is still well taken. So, Field, let me then come to you, if I could, very quickly, because there's a name that has not yet been said. We've been on the air an hour and 6 minutes. And there's a name that has not yet been said that I think belongs in this conversation. And that name is Jimmy Garoppolo, okay? The 49ers are going to take a quarterback at number 3. Vegas is now telling us it's going to be Justin Fields. Everyone else thinks it's going to be Mac Jones. It doesn't really matter for the purposes of this which one they take. The moment they do, it's sort of like when you drive a car off of a lot, the minute you buy it, its value just decreases exponentially. The minute they take a quarterback, I have to believe, the price on Jimmy Garoppolo drops enormously. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks of him, Bill loves him. And I think that is fairly well documented. So Field, that remains to me a very real possibility in all of this, that with the quarterback that Bill eventually comes out of this thing with is Jimmy G. Field Yates, what do you think?
I'm not so sure about that, Greeny. And I'll just say this. If the 49ers wanted to maximize the value of Jimmy Garoppolo, they would have traded him 2 weeks before free agency got going. Because think about the suitors they would have had available at that time. Chicago, Washington, New England, all those teams at the time not only did not have a new quarterback plan in place, but had more roster flexibility in terms of cap space. I hear you people out there. You can always find the cap space if you want to make it. But the 49ers waited until just after free agency's first wave was over, when all these teams had made all these plans and done their cap projections based off the players they had acquired, and Washington signed Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Chicago signed Andy Dalton, the Patriots brought back Cam Newton. I'm not so sure that Jimmy Garoppolo is anywhere other than a 49er at the start of this season, because you're right in the sense that the minute they draft a Mac Jones, maybe Jimmy G's value depreciates. But it could go right back up if he plays how they expect him to play. If they expect him to play pretty well this year, well enough that they can make a playoff run again, a year from now, they could have value in a Jimmy Garoppolo trade and an obvious transition plan to whoever they take at pick three.
If they take Mac Jones, I think he starts for them week one, which is a part of that. Go ahead, Mike T, go.
Yeah, there's a compelling exception, which is, and unfortunately I live this, a quarterback goes down in training camp. When Ryan Tannehill went down in 2017, we had to go get Jay Cutler out of retirement. Sam Bradford was traded for a massive premium when Teddy Bridgewater got hurt. So if you go into training camp with Jimmy Garoppolo and whichever quarterback they take, there is a compelling exception to an August trade. So you could be dealing from a position of strength in August.
All right. And so, Dan Orlovsky, let me circle all the way back to the beginning. Because, and we only put it up there briefly, but if we can, Chrissy, let's put that back up there with the odds having shifted to Justin Fields. So Fields, all of a sudden, yesterday, out of nowhere, yeah. Justin Fields becomes the favorite at Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill to be the third pick in this draft, where we have been projecting it to be Mac Jones all along. So as you look at the Patriots, Dan Orlovsky, if you were the offensive coordinator there for Bill, and he said to you, which one of these three guys on the screen right now do you want? Which one would you tell him you wanted?
Yeah, in a realistic fashion, I'd say Trey Lance. I'd say I'd want Trey Lance because I have Cam Newton, and I think Cam Newton could play solid football, and that gives me comfort. And I think Cam Newton's got really good leadership skills as well. And Trey Lance can come in here and learn from Cam Newton the competitiveness and the ability to go be a pro on a daily basis. And I understand that this guy's got this untapped potential that he's got really good talent, and he plays really fast, but he doesn't panic with the football, and I can develop him. And then, again, this goes down to the next 10 years. This closes the gap at the quarterback position for me if I'm New England. If Cam Newton, if I take Trey Lance, Cam Newton's my day one starter, and I'm good with that, and I'm comfortable with that. But then I know I've got an absolute potential superstar coming when ready.
And so that, I think, would go back to what you were saying a moment ago, Field Yates. I think a good place to sort of leave this discussion is this. For anyone yelling at their television right now, Belichick never trades up and he never takes a quarterback. It's worth reminding everyone he's never been in the situation, at least not in New England, that he is right now. Field.
Yeah, Greeny, we can use historical context to try to predict the Patriots, but nothing is normal anymore for the Patriots. They had 20 years with Tom Brady. Why would they bother moving up in the first round to select a quarterback when Brady's still going and now is signed through the age of 45? If the Patriots are going to make a move, it's not because they're reversing course from what they've done in the past. It's because they've got a different need now than they have had over the past 20 years. So I continue to believe that a slight move up might be more plausible than a dramatic move up. But that's the beauty of the NFL draft. We're 13 days away. And other than Trevor Lawrence going one, there's absolutely nothing that we can take to the bank, even if I'm pretty inclined to take Zach Wilson to the Jets to the bank.
All right, we will see. We're 13 days away from the bank being open. We will have a break here. We have a lot more to come as we go, including the real star of night one of the draft. His name is Nick Saban. He's made Alabama a perennial contender. Do we appreciate the Saban effect on the NFL? We're having that conversation. And speaking of Bama, Devontae Smith won the Heisman, had a record-setting night at the national championship. But he may not be the first selected from his own team. We'll explain as we continue. Get up here on ESPN. And Orlovsky, here we go. Hembo's calling you out. Here's the question. Which college program has the record for most first-round picks in a single draft?
Oh, gosh, guys. It's a
layup.
That's
the question. The answer's next. Get up on ESPN.
Later.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up, and we're talking about Bama with all the stars they have in this draft. Dan, let's do either or here. Okay. At running back, who you got, Travis Etienne or Najee Harris?
Najee Harris, Greeny, strictly because I feel very comfortable being able to put him out at wide receiver position, whether it's the slot or the outside, and throw him the football. We all know he's a dynamic athlete when it comes to ball out in space as a runner. But him as a pass catcher, which we know is a huge part of the NFL offense right now, would be an absolute weapon. He reminds me a lot of Matt Forte or Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, Etienne did improve in that area as a senior, but not to the extent that Harris has. Mike, next up, we've got Jalen Waddle or Devontae Smith, the two Bama receivers. Who you got?
Jalen Waddle, I love his toughness. I was at the national championship game, Greeny. He's out there on one leg. It was painful for me to watch. Here's a guy that's a top 10 player, nothing to play for, and he's out there with his teammates, taking nothing away from Devontae Smith. I just don't, his build concerns me a little bit. Waddle's toughness is hard to ignore.
He averaged an impossible 48.5 yards per touchdown in college. Dan, in the defensive secondary, Patrick Surtain from Bama or J.C. Horn?
Yeah, I'm speaking strictly as a quarterback here. I would not want to go against a player like J.C. Horn, strictly because everything's hard. The competitive fire and the dog of him doesn't give me any easy completions. I know when I'm throwing his way, I got to earn it. The ball's got to be out on time, to the right spot, at the right location. And that is frustrating for a quarterback, that that player is going to be all over my receiver on a consistent basis.
Actually, both those guys, Surtain and Horn, had fathers who played in the NFL. J.C. Horn is the son of former receiver Joe Horn. Okay, with that thought in mind and all these Bama players expected to go in this draft, Danny, which program has the record for most first-rounders in a single draft?
Greeny, in 2003, I was a young sophomore at the University of Connecticut, and we went down to a place called the Orange Bowl to play a team called the Miami Hurricanes. And I will never forget the first play of the game, Willis McGahee took a handoff and ran through the chest of our middle linebacker, and they played Ludacris' song, Move! Get out the way. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not in Storrs, Connecticut anymore. I'm going to say the 2003 Miami Hurricanes.
It is correct. Now,
boom!
Here's the thing. It's 2004. Hembo,
you know
the season would be 2003.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
The
yeah.
draft would be 2004. I'm giving that the thumbs up, and so is Hembo. I can list the players, by the way. The six players, Sean Taylor, Kellen Winslow, Jonathan Vilma, DJ Williams, Vernon Carey, and Vince Wilfork. Those were the players. Now, we may see these six go in the first round this year. That's what Mel thinks, and it would tie the record. All of them, of course, playing for Nick Saban, who has an unbelievable history of sending top players to the NFL. Since Nick Saban arrived in Tuscaloosa, it has been mentioned, and not always completely in jest, that his teams might compete in the NFL. While that might be a stretch, there is no denying Saban prepares his players exceptionally well.
What you do speaks so loudly, it don't matter what you say.
Here's the proof. Since he took over in 2007, Alabama has produced 33 first-round picks. That is 12 more than Ohio State, next on the list. Alabama is the only school to have had three players selected in the first round in each of the last three drafts, and he's certainly going to do it again.
I think you could have that many first-round draft choices.
You put all this together, and it's like, wow.
Alabama has 10 players ranked among Scouts Inc.'s top 100 prospects this year. That's twice as many as anyone else. Again, Ohio State is second. And according to Todd McShay's latest mock draft, five Alabama players should be expected to hear their names called in round one. That would be the most in school history. Saban is the only coach to produce two first-round wide receivers in the same draft, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, just a year ago. He's poised to do that again with the Heisman winner Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle. And his players have produced at the next level. At least one Pro Bowler was drafted out of Alabama in every year between 2011 and 2019. Perhaps the greatest compliment of Saban's player development comes from another legend and his close friend, Bill Belichick.
New England does pick at 15, and I always talk about the Belichick-Saban connection.
The Patriots coach has drafted 10 of Saban's players. So if you are looking for a tidal wave of NFL talent on draft night, don't be surprised if it comes in a crimson tide. It just doesn't show any sign of slowing down either. And as we bring back Paul Finebaum, the mouth of the South, if you will, no one knows about this better than you do, Paul. And I see in your notes here that you think that this actually might even be more of a factor going forward. Tell everybody why.
Yeah, so Nick Saban had to replace a bunch of coaches this year. What did he do, Greeny? He brought in Doug Marrone, who got fired at Jacksonville as his offensive line coach. And what did he do for the offensive coordinator after Sarkisian went to Texas? He hired Bill O'Brien, who was at the Texans last year. And nobody else does this. Maybe you bring in a coach as an analyst, but Nick Saban is always recruiting. And when he goes into homes, what's he talk about? He talks about national championships and draft night. And Greeny, he will continue this for many more years to come.
So Mike T, the Saban effect, as one who has been there drafting players during this time, what does it mean?
It means everything. Take you back a couple years ago, third round, we need a running back. We look at Kenyon Drake. And what's so important about the transition from college football to pro football from a running back perspective, and Dan, you know this well, can they pass protect?
Yeah.
We knew that Kenyon Drake was fast. We knew he was tough. And because he played for Coach Saban, we knew he knew what to do, that he was disciplined. And the fact that we could get a third round running back that was also a good pass protector, all because he was coached under Nick Saban.
What do you think, Danny?
Yeah, I think the reality is the NFL, people trust the character of these young men because they come from Nick Saban's program. Because I think he's done the hardest thing in college football, and I think it's the hardest thing in the NFL. Get players to truly believe team over me. And I think that's the character of the Alabama program. Also, it's a program that is process over results. You are what you repeatedly do. And so NFL programs believe that Nick Saban has ingrained that into his players. That is, it is just an everyday process. And so many of them are already ready to go be pros. They understand what it's like because they've been pros for at least three or four of their past 5 years, so to speak. The three or last 4 years of their life, they've been pros on campus. And I think NFL programs look at the talent and go, great, that's there. But the character makeup, the habits that they have, the process obsession rather than the results obsession that Alabama has, I think NFL organizations absolutely love.
You know, and Paul, to come back to you, I remember you were on my podcast in the fall of 2018, and we were talking about, just to paraphrase, like, is it starting to come to an end? Are we starting to see a bit of a slip? And it felt like a reasonable conversation at the time. Why does it feel so totally different from that 3 years later?
It did feel reasonable, but here's what Nick Saban did. He recalibrated, and I think bringing Sarkisian in was one of the keys. Now Sarkisian did not work out well at Atlanta as the coordinator there, but he rejuvenated his career, and Saban just is always looking for an edge. It used to be an insult, Greeny, to call a football program a football factory, but that's exactly what it is. It's like if you go into an Amazon plant or at Apple, it's as good as it gets anywhere in the country. And that's why he is successful. And that's why players want to go there. They want to win championships. They want to hear their name called in the first round by you or somebody else. And they want to be successful. And I think Dan said the most important thing. It's all about the process.
Yeah.
I mean, the quarterback, the two receivers, the running back, the defensive tackle, and the corner should all go in the first round. They have a bunch of offensive linemen that'll probably go not long after that. It's going to be another one of those years. Paul Finebaum, you're the best. Thank you. Much more as we continue here in a moment. Coming up, after slipping in early draft predictions, Justin Fields seems to be on a bit of a climb. We will break down the tape to show you exactly why that is next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, we're back. And we told you earlier, Las Vegas has suddenly decided Justin Fields is the favorite to be the third pick in this draft. Now, just breaking down some of the numbers, you see that Fields struggled, at least by the statistics, when facing pressure. You see the steep drop-offs in completion percentage and yards and QBR when pressured as compared to not. Those are what the numbers say. But Dan Orlovsky, I know you think otherwise, and you've got the tape to prove it. Go.
Yeah, Greeny, sometimes numbers lie. Okay, this is actually going to be one of my favorite clips out of the whole college football season last year, and it's Justin Fields because, like you said, the numbers tell one story. I disagree, and this isn't bigger than Justin Fields being 6'3", 220 pounds, and a great athlete. This is playing quarterback. Now, when it comes to dealing with pressure, number one, have the plan. Now, everyone pay attention to Justin Fields. He sends the motion out, and this is him showing, I've got a plan. Right now, he's talking to his offensive line. You see his hands going that way, okay? This is a five-man protection for a quarterback. When you have a five-man protection, it's your responsibility to have a plan of where you want to send those guys. Now, when he's scanning the field right now, Justin Fields sent that motion out, and he's scanning the field. He's going, all right, is there an intent or threat with a defender to come with the pressure? And if so, what's my plan? Right now, he's going to send his offensive line to the right. Now, why is he doing this? Well, this slot defender right here is called the cap defender. What does that mean? He's capped over the top by his safety. This guy has intent because he's near the line of scrimmage, and he has threat because that safety is capped over the top. Send your offensive line that way. There is your plan. Okay, this defender can blitz. Why? That safety can drop down and play zone, or he could drop down and play man. So there's your plan offensive line-wise. Number two, communicate. You see him pointing to his tight end right here. You can't just tell the offensive line. You have to tell everybody because the reality is, once you send these big fellas that way, you're weak somewhere else. Right now, he's talking to his tight end. Hey, guy, listen, if this defensive end comes or that linebacker, they're ours, okay? There's communication here. I need you to be my hot route, okay? He's telling his tight end, those guys come, you gotta be my hot route if they blitz. Then number three, execute it, right? When the situation presents itself, you've sent your offensive line down that way, here comes those guys. Now execute. Catch the snap, get the ball out with touchdown. It's beautiful from the back angle now. Remember, this is on the road. Look at this. I don't need you to go up there and whisper at the line of scrimmage. No, hey, big fella. Those guys come, they're ours, okay? Let me communicate. Look at the point. He's gonna point to both these guys. Look at a point. Hey, if those guys come, this is our responsibility. So you can tell me that the numbers say something, and I could show you one clip. Yes, one clip, because here's the reality. Justin Fields just showed me he's got a plan, he's going to communicate, and then he's going to execute. So the numbers can tell me one thing. The tape tells me another thing when it comes to Justin Fields' ability to handle the pressure.
That's so well done. I love those tapes. And again, Las Vegas now suggesting that he is the favorite to go three overall to San Francisco. It's going to be fascinating in 2 weeks. Dan, well done. Meanwhile, let me run the floor. And again, we go back to the WNBA draft last night, which you saw live on ESPN. And the Dallas Wings took Charlie Collier from Texas with the number one overall pick. She's a native Texan, and she is the first Longhorns player to be the number one pick in either the WNBA or the NBA. Meanwhile, NBA action last night involving Giannis Antetokounmpo returning to the court after missing the last six with an ailing knee. He had 15 in just 25 minutes. Bucks had seven players in double figures. They beat Atlanta 120-109. Steph Curry, he got off to a slow start, then got cooking in Cleveland, missed his first eight threes, then hit four of his last five, finished with 33 points. Warriors won going away 119-101. It was Curry's ninth straight game with 30 points or more. It's the second longest streak by a player aged 33 or older in NBA history. Only Kobe Bryant ever had a longer one. So Curry is making an MVP case, but Joel Embiid has something to say about that as well.
When you think about it right now, do you believe you're the league MVP?
You know, I'm up there when it comes to stats. And, you know, also, you know, being the best team in the East, you know, what more can you ask? And you look at the last two MVPs, same thing, Giannis. I mean, those were his numbers, and he had the best record in the East.
You can watch that entire interview with Stephen A. on SportsCenter Monday night, 7 Eastern. I'm fascinated by the backdrop, and I'm always fascinated to hear from the one and only Jalen Rose. So, Jay, let's start there. Joel Embiid's making his case for MVP. Who's your MVP?
Good morning, Greeny. So when I think about the MVP race, a lot of it has to do with narrative. And as a voter, I try to eliminate that as much as possible when I'm trying to pick who's the actual best player that season, not necessarily who's the best player in the league. And while you were teeing me up, I thought about a couple of categories that people tend to vote towards when they vote for this award. First off, guys that miss games don't become a part of this conversation. Mm-hmm. I'll call that the Kawhi list. Just think about it. He's on one of the best teams in the league, the Los Angeles Clippers. He's one of the best players in the league. He has some of the best stats in the league. However, when we had this conversation, Kawhi just doesn't get mentioned because in our minds, he misses too many games. How about teams that we don't consider having great records? Luka Doncic is having an outstanding season. You saw the jump shot that he made from three to win the game the other night. And Steph Curry, he's had an outstanding season. He's not going to be a part of this conversation either. How about best players on best teams? Donovan Mitchell plays for the Utah Jazz. Mm-hmm. He has terrific stats, and they have the best record in the West. He's not a part of this conversation. How about Devin Booker or CP3? They're not a part of this conversation. So now let's drill down to what everybody's really focused on. Who they think has the narrative with their great season. The Joker with Denver has been outstanding, flirting with triple-doubles on a nightly basis, has been a consistent league pass performer all year. Joel Embiid, who you just broke down, who's been outstanding in the Eastern Conference as well. He talked about his stats and them being the best team in that conference. Giannis Antetokounmpo, if you look at his numbers compared to the years that he won it, they're fairly similar. But I'm going to interject another name that I want people to start paying attention to. How about Damian Lillard? Mm-hmm. CJ McCollum's been in and out of the lineup. Yet Dame Lillard is the guy, along with Steph Curry, that we've acknowledged is the best clutch performer in today's NBA. The best performer in today's NBA. He doesn't play alongside another All-Star. He does not play alongside another All-Star. So when you have this conversation, interject Dame Lillard's name. Your thoughts, Green Mamba.
Well, you will remember 3 years ago when we started this thing, how many times did I say you can't spell Damian Lillard without the letters MVP? I've been waiting 3 years for it to circle all the way around. But I want to go back to something that you said at the beginning about the players that weren't playing. And this year, because of the compressed schedule here in the second half, there were so many missed games, and I'm hearing it from fans like crazy on the radio. They are frustrated watching all these players, particularly with the Nets. We saw what happened on Wednesday night. What is your perspective as one who's been around it forever on the way that has gone this season?
The game has changed, ladies and gentlemen. And when I played in the league, there was a sense of pride in players that could play 82 games. Those days are over. Your favorite player will not play 82 games again. And they'll get the same money. And therefore, when you realize your job will pay you the same money, but taxing your mind and your body less days, you're going to choose to do it. And also, here's another reality. People continue to dismiss the importance of the regular season. Every time we start talking about who's the best player, who's the greatest player, you know what we do? Ring count.
Mm-hmm.
Look at stats. Look at analytics. So players say, okay, you're going to judge me by my turnovers? You're going to judge me by my percentages? Well, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to take less chances. I'm going to only shoot when I'm open. I'm going to only play when I'm fresh. And so, therefore, players have realized I could play longer, make more money. And the other thing, Greeny, the teams are in on it, too. There's so many squads that have training staffs that can tell you right now the games players are going to miss.
Mm-hmm.
They can tell you right now, this game he's going to play, this game he's going to play, these are the five that he's going to miss. It's not a surprise that Kawhi Leonard didn't play the other night against Detroit. I looked at their schedule. I knew he wasn't going to play. That's where we are in today's game.
second game of a back-to-back, which they have tried to have fewer of, but this year with the compressed schedule, they can't do anything about it. Jalen, we'll see you at J&J this afternoon, and we will talk more about this as we continue, as we roll along here. By the way, we'll also see Jay tonight. Tip off your weekend with our Friday doubleheader on ESPN. The Clippers facing their former coach, Doc Rivers. Joel Embiid will be there with the Sixers, 7 Eastern tonight. And then Julius Randle and the Knicks taking on Luka and the Mavs. That's 9:30 Eastern. It's all coming your way tonight on ESPN and the ESPN app. Coming up, we've heard for years, Trevor is a can't-miss prospect. But some recent comments have raised some eyebrows. You need to hear this conversation, and you will. Next, get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and Get Your Eyes Checked is brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. And here we go, Dan Orlovsky. Earlier this week, Javi Baez got a routine throw. Oh, chin! What the fudge?
What the fudge, Javi? This ball come out of your hand a little hot. See, that's what happens. He's probably chewing his nails or something like that, spitting out seeds, and just got a little extra body butter on it, you know? That ball came flying out of his hands.
Not exactly what we had in mind there. All right, onwards we go. And let's talk about Trevor Lawrence, a guy who it tends to come out of his hand a little better than that most of the time. He's been the presumptive number one pick basically since he was in high school. But he did this interview in Sports Illustrated that came out this week, and it has gotten a lot of attention. And these are the quotes that people are focused in on, and I've heard a wide array of opinion. He said, "I want people to know that I'm passionate about what I do, and it's really important to me. But I don't have this huge chip on my shoulder that everyone's out to get me, and I'm trying to prove everybody wrong. I just don't have that. I can't manufacture that. I don't want to." His father, meanwhile, told Sports Illustrated, "He's not award-driven. He's not, I want to win a Super Bowl at all costs." So, again, there are so many different ways to analyze these words. But, Mike Tannenbaum, I think it is worth coming back to you as one who, you know, you have to bet your career on drafting these guys, that there was one thing about it that did concern you.
Absolutely. And it's the sobering impact of Andrew Luck's sudden retirement a couple years ago.
Sure.
I'm not saying I wouldn't draft Trevor Lawrence, because I would, but those comments are alarming from this standpoint. Since he's been 14 years old, he's been the best of the best. And Jimmy Johnson said best 20 years ago, we want players that have no parachutes. They have to make it in pro football or they have nothing. Trevor Lawrence has the opposite. He has a golden parachute. He has generational wealth. So would I draft him? Absolutely. But I would be concerned that 5, 6, 7 years down the road, he wakes up one day and says, "Hey guys, I'm good. I'm out." And that's a real thing now in pro football. And we saw it with Andrew Luck just a couple years ago.
We've seen it more commonly amongst players at other positions that are more dangerous to your health, for lack of a better way of putting it. Younger players are retiring. But Andrew Luck does, to some degree. Does not seem to impress Field Yates, though. I'm looking at the shaking of the head vigorously. What is it, Field?
Well, I don't see a comparison between Andrew Luck and Trevor Lawrence. And I understand what Mike is saying. It's like you are betting the farm on a guy, but a couple of things here. Andrew Luck's retirement was driven by medical circumstances. The guy had injury after injury that just were not healing in the way that anybody would hope for. Yeah. Second of all, I'm not gonna let one quote that Trevor Lawrence, by the way, later on in that SI piece, incredibly well done, noted, like, "I understand what I'm saying might rub some people the wrong way, and I don't care." You know, what evidence do we have that Trevor Lawrence isn't a tremendous competitor, a guy who is willing to shoulder whatever load is put upon him and be great? This is a player that, I get it, he's been the crowned anointed one, as you said yesterday on the show, Greeny, since the age of like 13. And he hasn't had a bunch of difficult circumstances. But during his true freshman season of Clemson, the senior captain, starting quarterback, Kelly Bryant, gets hurt. Like, I'm not saying that Trevor Lawrence isn't great and Clemson isn't great, but that's a lot of pressure on an 18-year-old to go in there and perform. I would just say enough people that have spent enough time around Trevor Lawrence have expressed zero concerns about the desire, about the work ethic, about the, you know, the determination to be a great player, that I understand the quote can be read a certain way, but I think your homework level is so much deeper when you're scouting Trevor Lawrence that this, to me, is a complete non-issue. As a matter of fact, I kind of respect how just authentically himself he is.
Yeah, look, no one is suggesting this is going to impact him being drafted number one or anything like that. That's, no one is saying that.
Right.
But, Dan, it does raise, I think, an interesting question, which is, in order to succeed in football, particularly at that position, does football have to be your whole life? He's basically saying, look, I love football. I play football. It isn't who I am. It isn't what I am. It's something that I do. Can you succeed at the very highest level with that mentality? It's a fascinating question to me.
I think to go be great at that position, you have to put it at number one in your life. Yes, you've got to be committing everything in your life to go be great at it. When I first heard the comments, Greeny, I was taken back. No doubt about it. That being said, motivation is fleeting. Habits are everything. Motivation for athletes comes and goes, okay? But do you have great habits that are going to carry you past those moments of, I don't want to do this today, or I don't want to practice this way, I don't want to study this way? Are you committed to your habits? And I had a conversation, something that I've been reminded about over the past couple weeks. The tape is everything. The tape will tell you everything about a player. And I think we could just watch the tape of Trevor Lawrence and know what he's about, not what he isn't about. And Field, you referenced the latter part of that article. Something else that has gotten left out when it comes to that article is his high school coach brought him into his office at Lawrenceville, Georgia, and said, Trevor, give me your goals. You've got to have goals. Give me a goal. And Trevor Lawrence responded with, I just want to be the greatest to ever do it. Now, conveniently, we're not talking about that, but that tells me everything. I don't care what his dad said, respectfully, that dad, this is not your journey. And I don't care what somebody else, but respectfully, this is not your journey. I'm the person putting my head on the pillow every night, and I'm the person getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning doing the work by myself. And if I'm committed to that habit, he'll be great.
Yeah. And again, that it also isn't, as much as anything, I think, just a sign of the times. The way younger people think now relative to the way they did 20 years ago, and this has probably always been the case, is just different. This may be the beginning of the new generation becoming the NFL's stars. Meanwhile, we have a special edition in the afternoon tomorrow of NBA Saturday. It's on ESPN, and you're going to see Donovan Mitchell, the Jazz. They have the best record in the league. They're going to take on the Lakers. Our coverage will begin with NBA Countdown 4 Eastern. That's tomorrow on ESPN, and you can watch live on the ESPN app. Coming up, you think you know everything about the draft. You think you've heard it all before. You're wrong. We've got bold predictions, the ones you need, because they're all coming true. Next, Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We've got UFC Fight Night tomorrow from the Apex in Vegas, our middleweight main event. 2 years in the making, eighth-ranked contender Kevin Gastelum finally gets his shot against number one-ranked Robert Whittaker. The prelims start at 7 Eastern on ESPN, followed by the main card on ESPN and ESPN+. To get ESPN+, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. Meanwhile, First Take is 4 minutes away here on ESPN. Who's the better MVP candidate, Embiid or Dame Lillard? Plus, is Steph the best guard in the NBA? Stephen A., Max, and Molly get into that and more when they take over at the top of the hour. Meanwhile, we've got those 4 minutes for you here on Get Up Covered. We're 13 days from the draft, and I'm looking for bold predictions. Here we go. We need them bold, and we need them to come true, which is a complicated needle to thread, but we're going to do it. Field, give me a bold prediction that's going to come true.
All right, Rashawn Slater from Football Factory Northwestern will be the first offensive lineman off the board, Greeny, ahead of Penei Sewell from Oregon. Of course, a prodigious talent who opted out of this past season. But give me Slater, an athletic freak, a guy who has some room to grow in terms of being a technician. But this is a player who I think will be the first offensive lineman off the board when it's all said and done.
I love it. Started a season at right tackle, a season at left tackle. Opted out 2020, but does figure to go top 10 or thereabouts. Mike T, give me a bold prediction that's going to come true.
You know, Greeny, to your credit, you planned this seat a couple weeks ago. Everyone's talking about the top five quarterbacks. I say the sixth quarterback goes number 32 overall. It's the same play that the great Ozzie Newsome in Baltimore ran a couple years ago when they traded up for Lamar Jackson. Kyle Trask, University of Florida, will be the sixth and final quarterback taken in the first round, 32nd overall. Had unbelievable production, guys. He threw for over 68 touchdowns, over 4,000 yards this year. Not the athlete that others have, but I think a team like Chicago could trade up from the 52nd pick to the 32nd pick to go get Kyle Trask and get the fifth year on his contract.
Mm. Yeah, that's the big piece of it there. With that quarterback, you get that fifth year for the team that drafts them. I agree with that. I don't agree with which quarterback it'll be, but I do believe there will be a sixth at the end of the first round. Orlovsky, give me a bold prediction.
Well, I'm going to take that and run with it like a baton. I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to go back into the first round and draft their quarterback of the future. I could absolutely see it being Kyle Trask. Kyle Trask, a guy I called a couple of his games at Florida this year. Really good player. Great ball placement, good accuracy, good pocket movement, all that stuff. And I loved how he kind of hung and waited for his turn at Florida. When he got his opportunity, absolutely excelled. I could also see it being Kellen Mond. Kellen Mond is a player out of Texas A&M that learned for 3 years under Jimbo Fisher and just got better and better and better. Matt Canada, the new offensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers, comes from the college game. I'm sure he's had conversations with Jimbo Fisher of the talent and the intellect that Kellen Mond has. I could see the Steelers taking either of those guys for their future.
Yeah, I love both of those. Mike T, let me come back to you quickly. I think this is more important than me getting a prediction in here. The Steelers pick at 24. Is 24 too early for what Dan is talking about? Is 24 too early for the Steelers to be taking the sixth quarterback in this draft?
No, absolutely not. When you have a guy like Mond or Davis Mills, who I know you like, Greeny, and he's there, again, you're getting 5 years on the contract. Take the quarterback, let him sit for a year behind Ben, and then the rest is history. So there's still good value. You'd rather do it at 32, pick up an extra pick, but 24 is perfectly fine.
Yeah, there's one way to look at it, you know, either way, depending on how you do it. And my prediction has been the same. If you listen to my radio show, I've been saying that I've never wavered. Everyone reports that Mac Jones is going to be the third pick. Vegas says Justin Fields is going to be the third pick. I've never changed my mind. I think San Francisco is taking Trey Lance. From the moment they traded up, I said that day, they're going up there to get Trey Lance. It is the plan. It is the Patrick Mahomes plan. One more season of Garoppolo. Lance needs a season to sit and learn. And then 2 years from now, he becomes their Patrick Mahomes. I've never changed my mind. I'm dying on that hill. Guys, outstanding work. Thank you for getting up with us here. And more importantly, thank you for getting up with us today and all week long. It was a terrific Football Friday. Have a great weekend. We'll be back in Better Than Ever on Monday, but the fun continues next. First Take starts now.